Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the March 24th edition of the Tuesday Veteran Hour on The Real American Man. Today's show, I want to specifically discuss job issues with returning veterans. I myself have had difficulties finding a job since I separated back in 2013. And you know, I'm 27, married, got two children, and I'm treated like I've been playing around since high school. And it seems like they want to count my military time as experience. Anybody else have these problems? I want to hear from you. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Another thing that I want to be discussing today is kind of a wide variety of issues. I also want to be talking about health care. I don't know if you've heard, but the VA has decided to relax its rules that it had on the 40 miles. And basically, if you're not familiar with that, this is where a veteran would have to prove that they were 40 miles or more away from a VA hospital or clinic in order to be able to go see a private healthcare person. So basically, it's thought amongst a lot of the just everyday citizens that veterans automatically have healthcare for the rest of their lives. I've heard this from various different people. And while it is true to some extent, what is not true is that you cannot, as a veteran, just go anywhere. You have health care in a VA hospital or clinic. If it is VA-related, as far as run by the Veteran Affairs, then you're able to go into that facility and utilize it. And it's not free of charge. I've certainly had to pay out of pocket. Now, don't get me wrong. The health care system in the VA is not horrible. I'm not going to sit here on this show today and try to say that there's everything in the world wrong with the VA healthcare system. I myself have received care at the Fort Worth VA outpatient clinic here in Fort Worth, Texas. And so I definitely am not going to say that it's absolutely just horrible. But we're going to be talking about that as well. Also, to finish up the show, I want to be talking about home loans. This is something that is considered a huge benefit of being a veteran, to be able to get a certificate of eligibility for a VA home loan. And it's supposed to provide you, it's basically a lot of times if you get a mortgage, and if you've gotten one, then you'll know what I'm talking about, you have to have what's called mortgage insurance. And so basically the general thought is that you would have to provide where, like, if you lost your job or you died or something like that, that the loan would actually still be taken care of. And so so that would be mortgage insurance. So a VA home loan, the VA is backing you as a veteran, saying, if anything was to happen to you, we're going to take care of that loan. Now, there's some confusing things about that, and we're going to go into that later. And like I say, we'll finish up the show with that topic if we have time. But like I say, one of the things that I want to talk about is jobs. Jobs, jobs, jobs. It's a big topic of conversation in our country today. The ability of companies and the government as well to provide jobs for our veterans as we return from our service in the military. You know, it's a really sad thing whenever a veteran of these wars, whether it be Iraq, Afghanistan, all of the above, none of the above, that they spent time, they honorably served their country, they honorably get discharged from the military, and they come back home, and they are treated as though that they've just been MIA in the civilian world during their time in the military. And that time, unless they were able to accomplish a degree during that time in the military, their time is accounted for nothing. You are lucky to get a experience level job. Let's talk like Monster.com, for example. If you go into Monster.com and you go to start making an account and you create a resume and you create a search criteria and you base your military experience, and so there's a level of where you're at in your career, right? So you can say entry level, or you can say experienced non-managerial. You can say experienced managerial. You can say, you know, top dog. You've got a whole different set of categories there to go off of to say where you're at in your career. Now, for myself, I was an E4 in the Air Force, and so I was not in a managerial position. There was times that I was asked to be in charge of things. I ran a records custodian program. You might be familiar with that if you were in the Air Force. That the Air Force came down with. I was in charge of the records custodian program for our shop for the specific flight that I was in. And so you might be familiar with that, but I wasn't ever, I wasn't a sergeant, a staff sergeant or anything like that. So I was not in a managerial role, right? So, but I do have experience working. 6 years and 9 months I was in the military. I separated under Obama's separation cutbacks that he was going through. He allowed an opportunity to separate. And, you know, I'm originally from East Texas, and so I thought, all right, I'll get out. I'll go back home. I've got, you know, nearly 7 years of work experience in the military. I spent two tours in Iraq. You know, I should easily be able to get a job. And so I came back to the States hopeful that I would be able to find a place of employment. And while I did find a few places, doing a sales job, which I figured out I can't lie very well, so that wasn't going to go over very well. I'm not saying that you have to lie to sell. It just seems like you have to lie to sell good. So I was having some issues with that. I had to be able to put food on the table, but I was not willing to cross off integrity on my list of characters in order to do that. So that job was just not working out for me. And then I tried a law enforcement job, and I was mentioning on my last show about veterans, the veteran, his family, work, and play, which we got a lot of listeners on, archive listeners, so you listened to it after it was, you didn't actually listen to it during the live show, but you were an archive listener, and I appreciate that. I am able to see those numbers, so it was very encouraging that there was a lot of people interested in hearing about that topic. But on that show, I did talk about my experiences overseas, and I did come away with some PTSD. And it's something that I'm not trying to say it arrogantly at all, not whatsoever. I am wanting to say it, to share it, boldly proclaim it, to hopefully help someone else. Because it's something that I think that we hide behind. I think that it's something that we are scared to mention. I don't want any accolades for it. I don't want praise or thankfulness for it. I didn't do anything special in my mind. But I have to accept, and anybody that is struggling with PTSD has to accept that that is what you have going on in your life. If you deny it, if you just sweep it under the rug, it is only going to continue to haunt you. Talking about it, and you know, just to my family and friends, I've talked to counselors as well. All right, we're back on air. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties. I do apologize for that. Okay, so like I was saying, on the last show that we did, I talked about the issues of PTSD, and so I tried to do law enforcement. And one of the things that happened in law enforcement is that this PTSD affected my ability to be able to do that job effectively. It seems like that would be the most appropriate job for a military person, two tours in Iraq, to do, right? And it seemed like that to me. I thought so as well. But it was very, very difficult, and it was because of the issues that I suffered while I was in the military. So here is this cycle, just this circle that I keep having to go through, of trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to do, what it is that I need to be doing with my life, and how I can still serve my country. And it's just proving to be a very, very difficult experience. And so I don't know if any of you have had these issues as well. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number, 323-642-1089. Talking about jobs. Jobs are, you know, like I say, they're something that it's necessary. And like I was saying in the beginning of the show, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I am 27. I'll be 28 this year. I'm married. I have two children. I have a four-year-old and a seven-month-old. I cannot be getting paid entry-level pay. I can't. I cannot be getting paid that. And I don't know why I deserve that. I understand that there's this mentality amongst many people, you know, that, well, a job is a job, and I'll take whatever. I'm not above that job. I'm not saying that I am above the job. This has nothing to do with pride, okay? This has to do with the ability to be able to put food on my family's table. In no way, shape, form, or fashion was I expecting to come out of the military and to have the exact same level of pay and benefits that I had while in the military. I understood that was really good pay and that was really good benefits. Was not thinking I'm going to get the same thing on the outside. But I was not expecting to be so far from what I was getting in the military. I mean, drastically far. Let me encourage you now that if you're a military member and you're considering separating, consider it a little bit longer because it is such a challenge. And I'm sure other veterans would be willing to say the exact same thing. It is such a challenge. The grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, I can tell you that. It always looks greener. But jobs are difficult, but it shouldn't be that way. At least I don't think. There's a current topic of debate of veterans getting upset with their city or with an employer, you know, because they didn't do the, you know, they didn't give them a discount, right? Well, I went to Denny's and I asked for a discount and they said they don't do discounts for military. And I got mad and I want to tell the news about it. How dare them not give veterans a discount? You know, that's not really something that I think that is worth going, that I just don't see a reason to go down that road. That is not what we should be doing as veterans, going around looking for handouts. I'm not talking about handouts. A handout, you know, is something that you didn't really do anything in order to deserve it, right? But they're giving it to you anyways, right? It, well, not to say that we don't deserve a meal discount, but that's the way it's looked at by a lot of people, is like that's a handout. I'm not talking about that. And so on the topic of jobs, I'm not saying that I should just be able to walk into, you know, so like I said, I'm experienced in my career level, but I'm non-managerial. So I'm not saying that I should be able to walk into down here at the local bank and put in an application for the bank manager. Let's just go ahead and apply for the owner position. And because I'm a veteran, they should just give me that job. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not expecting a handout above and beyond what I'm worthy of, what I'm experienced in. I'm just saying that it would be nice to get where I'm at. That's all. That's all that I'm saying. I'm pretty sure that if I could handle 7 years in the Air Force, two tours to Iraq, that I can probably, and it was actually three deployments altogether. The third deployment was to an undisclosed location in Southwest Asia that we're not supposed to be at. I don't really think that it is right to expect a veteran, 27 years old, married, two kids, to be able to come out of the military and, oh, you know what, since how he's never worked here at Home Depot, let's put him in as a cashier and let's pay him $8, $9 an hour. Oh, yeah, we appreciate our veterans. Do what? It's Home Depot. I mean, I'm not saying anything against the job or anything. I understand that there's going to be a learning curve if you haven't worked at Home Depot, but is it necessary to put a veteran in as a cashier? It's just a question. Please call in and tell me if I'm wrong or comment on my Facebook. Let me know that I'm wrong. But I just don't understand. I mean, if all you did was, you know, maybe, you know, for some, I don't know what, why in the world. I was going to say, if all you did was work cashier in the Air Force for, you know, for 7 years, then I guess maybe that would be fair. But I don't believe that was a job category in the Air Force. So I don't think that that's probably what you did. But what is this thought that we can't pay our veterans an honest wage? I'm just talking about an honest wage. I'm not asking for 50 grand a year. I'm just asking for an honest wage. That's it. Is that too much to ask? Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number 323-642-1089. Well, we spent a little bit of time talking about jobs, and so you're still more than welcome to call in about that. Please don't take this as a stop to that topic as far as if you want to call in and discuss that. But I want to move on to healthcare. And this is such a big, huge topic. The VA healthcare system has been under fire for the past many years, talking about veterans dying in their lobbies and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you've got some proof on that, I'm not saying that that's not proven, but what I mean is, if you're connected to the situation, please call in and let me know about that. I would love to hear from someone that actually maybe was there whenever it happened, because it would be nice not to just read it in a storyline. Because, of course, the VA has got their excuses, and that's the reason why I'm saying that. They've got their reasons. Oh, well, it was this, this, and this. You know, it's hard to know if what they're saying is true. I would love to hear an eyewitness account on what happened in those hospitals where these types of things took place. So if you got some information on that, please call in. Let me know about it or leave me a message on Facebook. I would love to be able to discuss those things, but I personally don't have enough knowledge on it, so I'm not even going to go down that road. What I do know about is my own personal experience here at the VA healthcare system here in Fort Worth. We have the Fort Worth VA Outpatient Clinic, and my first experience there upon moving here, I moved here in May of 2014, and when my family and I moved out here to Fort Worth, it was to go to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and while here, I got enrolled in the Fort Worth VA Outpatient Clinic. That was the biggest headache I think I've ever had in my entire life, just about. I mean, I know that the military, when I was active duty, it was a whole system of hurry up and wait, but I've never been treated so rudely in my entire life as I was treated at the VA Outpatient Clinic in Fort Worth, Texas. The ladies that sit up there at the front of the VA outpatient clinic in Fort Worth have a huge need to find themselves some joy and go look for themselves another job. I do not understand why I continue to walk in there now almost a year later and they still have a job. Because I dealt with them on multiple occasions, so it's not like, oh, they were just having a bad day. No, I dealt with them on several different occasions, because it took forever to get my in-processing sorted to get care at the VA facility in Fort Worth. And every time I dealt with them, and it didn't matter which lady was up there, every time I dealt with them, they were extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. And, you know, I just don't understand why veterans are being treated in that sort of a way. All that we're talking about here is in-processing, okay? I was already in the VA system, the broad VA system, right? There's a couple things that I did. Before I got out of the military, before I separated, I checked the box that said that I wanted my medical records to be sent to the regional VA office from where my homestead was going to be at, and that was in Waco, Texas. So my VA medical records were supposed to, don't know if they did, but they were supposed to have went to the VA office in Waco, Texas. I then arrived in East Texas. That's where we moved back to when I first got out of the military. And while there, I-in-processed into the Longview, Texas VA outpatient clinic. It was actually, I think it was like a little family clinic. I can't even remember exactly what the name of it was. Much smaller, much, much smaller than the Fort Worth VA outpatient clinic. But nevertheless, that's where I am processed at. I got some work done there, got some blood work done and things like that. Never actually got to see a doctor. Never got an ID card while going there. We moved out to Fort Worth, like I said, in May of 2014. We got out here to this area. I went there to in-process. And like I said, what an experience. I sat in line along with 30, 40 other veterans, I would say closer to 30, sitting out in a lobby area, waiting on our name to be called. And, you know, there's this process that you have to go through. And I understand. There's a process to everything. I get it. But it was the attitude of the workers there that was so irritating. That was it. I know that there's a process. I was in the military for 7 years. I'm sure there's veterans that retired from the military. I understand that there is a process, that you can't just walk in there and start getting health care. I get it. I truly, I'm not kidding, I completely get that aspect of it. But what I do not understand is the attitude that is at the VA outpatient clinic in Fort Worth, Texas. I cannot speak for any other VA clinic. Apparently, it's a bigger problem than just here in Fort Worth based off of the news media, because there's complaints all over the country about the VA healthcare system. So I don't think that it's just right here in Fort Worth, Texas, but I cannot speak to any other location. And one of the things that I experienced there was while trying to get my identification card. I remember the first time I went there, I sat in the lobby area. They gave me a little, you know, if you go to a restaurant where you might have to wait to be seated, they have those little square, they almost look like plastic coasters or something, but they've got lights inside of them and they vibrate when it's your turn to be called, right, when your table is ready. So the VA hospital, VA outpatient clinic in Fort Worth, they have something similar to that, except the lights and the vibrating thing doesn't work. There's a number. They've got to use a label maker, and they've got a number on those little coasters. And so they give you that, and that's your number. But you have to go see two different people, same exact lobby, right? They're all set up there. It's kind of hard to tell who you're supposed to see and who you're not. Because the first time you go there, the first person you see, they give you an application. They tell you what you need to fill out. You go sit back down, you fill it out, and then you come back up there and you give it to them, and then they let you know that it's going to be a period of time before you can come back up there to get your picture taken for your ID card. And then it's going to be a period of time before you actually get your ID card. Okay, so this is the process. Got it. No problems. So I go and I sit down, and I should say that I was not explained that process when I first walked in there. It's volunteers up at the front, so they don't know exactly what you need to do. I just said, they did ask me, is this your first time here? And I said yes. And I figured out afterwards why they asked me that question, but I didn't know it at the time why they had asked me that question. So I said yes, this is my first time here. And he said, okay. So he hands me a number. I go and I sit down. I'm sitting there waiting. I just know that I need an ID card. I also know that I have already in-processed into VA in Longview, Texas. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if that means anything. I'm not sure. Nobody from Longview told me what I needed to do. So I just, you know, I didn't know how long I needed to sit there, who exactly I needed to talk to, or if there was some type of a quicker way to get my ID card, considering, like I said, I've already in-processed at another VA facility. And I thought, VA is VA. This is my thinking. Like I say, I've not been explained one way or the other at this point. So I'm sitting there waiting, and I see a couple veterans go up and ask, and I had just gotten there, how much longer is it going to be? We've been waiting here for 20, 30 minutes. Do you know how much longer this is going to be? And they would basically just tell them to go sit back down. They'll call their number whenever it's their turn. Well, I have other places to be today. You know, I don't. You know, is what the veteran would say. You know, I have other places to be. I've been in here for already 20, 30 minutes. I just need to know if it's even worth staying in here because it's going to take another 30 minutes before I'm going to get called up here. I don't have that kind of time. Well, sir, if you'll just be seated, I can't tell you how exactly long it's going to be. And mind you, I mean, it's not like they're skipping in line, okay? Everyone is seated. There is no one, and I mean no one, up at the window or up at the, it's not even a window, up at the counter where these ladies are sitting at. There's no one up there. There's no one waiting in line. They're not taking care of a customer right then and there. And so she could have very easily just explained to them what the situation is, you know, because I'm sure that there's a reasonable explanation. I'm sure that she's not just a jerk. But it looks like that. It looks like she's just a jerk. Maybe she is. You know, maybe those ladies have to do everything, right? So they have to have you fill out their application. You give them their application. They have to input it into the system. And then whenever you come back a couple days later, then you get your picture taken. Then they have to make your card and get it all shipped out. I don't know. I don't know if that's what happens or not because she wouldn't explain it. She just was extremely rude and, you know, basically shut up and sit down was pretty much what we got in response. Why should a veteran be treated this way? I mean, I'm not concerned about myself. I wouldn't be on a radio show talking about this if it was just me. Boo-hoo-hoo, I'll get over it. But it wasn't just me. It was veteran after veteran. I saw veterans with hats on from the Vietnam War. I saw veterans with hats on from, you know, from all kinds of different wars, Korean War. You know, I mean, other seasoned veterans who deserve our respect and our admiration and our thanks, and this lady is acting like they're asking for a cheeseburger or something, and they want their, you know, they want mayonnaise instead of mustard. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, and so she's all mad. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about veteran health care because they serve their country. In my mind, that's not a handout. It's a given. Especially if their health, deteriorating health, is related to their military time. Especially in that case. And so I just do not understand exactly why she was acting like this. Well, there came to a moment where she was, well, this was another thing too. They got up and they went to lunch as well, didn't say anything. Both of them went to lunch the exact same time. Okay? They could have went one go, and then the other one come back, and then the other one go. I've seen it done at plenty of places. It's a working system. It's very easy to do it that way. No, they both took lunch at the same time, as if they don't care. They don't care. 15, 20 minutes later, one of them finally came back. About 15 minutes after that, another one came back. So, you know, it was a very, very long process. I sat there for over an hour before finally she says, this one lady says, is there anyone else who needs an ID card? That's all that she says. Is there anyone else who needs an ID card? Well, I do need an ID card, right? That's my situation. That's what I'm up there for is an ID card. And I, you know, and I'm trying to be patient because I know that everyone else has been waiting as well. And I know that I got there after a lot of people, okay? So I sit there for a minute. I don't even get up. I let her ask the question a few times. I don't see anyone get up. I wanted to let someone else go if they needed to. No one else gets up. So I get up. I walk up there, and she says, what is your number? In a very rude, inconsiderate tone of voice. What is your number? And I show it to her, and she says, have you done your application yet? And I said, I did in Longview. No, sir. Have you done your application here? In a very, you know, snarky kind of voice. Well, no, I have not done my application here, but I should be in the VA. That's not what I asked you. Have you done your application here at the Fort Worth Clinic? Well, no, I have not. Okay, well, then you need to go sit back down and do your application first, and then once you do your application, you can come back, and I think she said 24 to 48 hours, 36 to 48 hours, something like that, and then you can get your picture taken at that time for your ID card. It was the way in which she said it, and I responded back to her, and I said, ma'am, I said, that's fine. I said, but you do not have to talk to me in that tone of voice or any of these other veterans here. And she just kind of looked at me like, who are you to be talking to me like that? Well, I'm thinking the exact same thing about her. And so, anyways, I got her name. I'm not going to mention on the radio broadcast because I went and I spoke to the patient advocate. There you go. I went and spoke to the patient advocate about it. So a complaint has been filed. And if you live here in the Fort Worth area and you've dealt with the in-processing side of that clinic, you may know exactly who I'm talking about. But and so there's no need to bring that up. I've already submitted a complaint. I've even done a review on Facebook as well and put her name in there. So I've done my due diligence on that to try to make people aware. Because the only thing that I want people to be aware of, because I knew, this is what I knew, and like I say, that was one instance. I dealt with her a couple more times, had to go back in there for the ID. They messed up my application. They actually lost my application. So she got rude with me again, telling me that I needed to submit another. She didn't remember me from the other day. So she acted like I was lying to her and said, no, you have to fill out an application first. And I said, well, I did fill out an application. And so it was a whole little thing there with her again. And then when I came back to get my ID, when I finally got to actually get my picture taken for my ID card, she was rude in that process. So, and that was on, like I say, three different occasions. Actually, I think it was four, because there was one time that I came up there that I ended up having to leave myself. I think I was there for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and I had other things I had to do, and I just could not wait any longer on them to move through that process. All right, we're back. Once again, still having some technical difficulties. I really do apologize for that. I'm so sorry. All right, well, that was a long talk of the healthcare system. And I just want to get some conversation going. I feel like that if we as veterans, you know, and one of the things that we get in the mindset of, and I appreciate this, I understand it, I agree that I raised my right hand and I volunteered, absolutely 100% volunteered to join the United States military. And I am owed, in my mind, nothing from my country. I did that on a volunteer basis. Okay? So let me just make that clear. However, like I said, that's just me trying to be humble. On the other hand, I do care about other veterans. You see, I appreciate that others feel that way. But I'm not about to say that about another veteran. I'm not about to tell another veteran that the country does not owe them anything, because I think that that's wrong to say that about another veteran. I don't know what they went through. I don't know what experiences they had. Maybe this country does owe them. Maybe they do. Maybe they did go through some experiences that you know nothing about, that I know nothing about, and they deserve some care for what they experienced in the military. Personal opinion. The last thing I want to talk about is some good things in the VA healthcare system. I didn't get a chance to discuss it very much in the beginning. But I want to talk about some good things, like say in the VA healthcare. And that is, you know, one experience I had recently, I'll tell you a personal experience. I work for a city government. I am a dispatcher, a 911 dispatcher for a local city. I say that. I'm in the training phase right now. So we'll see if that works out. I think it will. I think I'm doing all right. But hopefully I'll make it through that and I'll have myself a steady job. But it's a city job, so it has benefits, obviously. And I went to go use my city benefits to get some eyeglasses. I am finding that I need to use reading glasses more and more and more and more often. I'm having to increase the text size on my computer screen. I'm having to put books kind of further away from my eyes to be able to see them. So it's becoming more of a problem. I used to wear reading glasses just every now and then. If I was reading a lot, I would need them because I'd start to get a headache. But it's actually becoming a, you know, where like I can't see it very well whenever it's close up. Not just a I'm having to strain, but I'm not even able to strain and see it very well. So I needed some bifocals. No line bifocals. That's a little bit expensive. But I went to try to use my personal health care. I went to, I say personal, my city health care. So I went to I'm going to think of the name in a second, an optometrist, and had an appointment done there for my eyes, got a prescription for my eyes, went to an eyeglass location to purchase some eyeglasses. My insurance did cover part of that, my city insurance. I ended up spending about, I think the frames were about $120. And so that was out of pocket. And they were much more than that. If I would have paid for them cash, you know, completely with no insurance, it would have been more than that. So good health insurance. But I was not able to get very good lenses because they have these, you may have heard of them if you wear eyeglasses, they have HD lenses now that are supposed to be bigger, better, brighter, whatever. Supposed to be much nicer. So I was interested in them and asked about them. They were going to cost me nearly $400. So I didn't worry. I said, don't worry about it. But then I got to thinking about the VA, and, you know, I thought, you know, maybe I'll try up there and see what it would cost me to get some eyeglasses from the VA. So I go up there, and lo and behold, the guy says to me in the eyeglass office there at the outpatient clinic in Fort Worth, he says, regular lenses are free. They don't cost anything. These frames here are also free, but if you want these frames over here, they would cost you a little bit of money, but not very much. And so we go through that whole process, and I end up asking him about the HD lenses just out of curiosity. And he says, oh, yeah, HD lenses. Yeah, I can. You do have to pay a little bit out of pocket for them, but we can do that. So I got the free frames, right? They're okay frames. And I asked for the HD lenses. I came out of there with HD lenses from the VA for, I think it was $115. $115. And I actually ended up, they actually gave me two pairs of glasses for that. Two pairs of glasses. $115. Okay? So I was extremely impressed with the lack of amount that I had to spend there. I mean, it just was really shocking to me that that was all I had to spend. But, you know, so, like I said, I do want to talk about some good things there. Also, you know, I have some liver issues that I'm working through. And I have to get blood work quite often. And, you know, I think about the amount of times that I've been to go get blood work for my liver. And this is something that that needs to be kept checked up on for my health and my safety. And I've gone there multiple times to get blood work done. I can't imagine how much that costs to test my blood. The hours that lab techs spend doing all that, the time that they blocked out for me to come in and get my blood drawn. And so there are silver linings in the VA system. I truly appreciate what is available to me through the VA healthcare. I really do. But like most things with the VA, and we're going to talk about some other things here in a second, there is this catch-22 with everything in the VA that is just extremely frustrating. You know, like I said, I mean, okay, yeah, there are a lot of good things, but, you know, my doctor, I got to be honest with you, I just really don't care for him. He does not seem interested in my health care. He just kind of says whatever he needs to say to get through the appointment. I just don't feel like he cares very much. I just really do not. And I don't know where they get these doctors from. I really don't. I went and talked to a couple people in there, and I just don't feel like that the doctors, or at least the doctor that I had, is a very good doctor. I really don't. I do not trust my health care to this guy. So what am I to do? I can request another doctor. That request can get denied. I also could end up with another doctor that's maybe worse, maybe better, but maybe worse, maybe the same. And then what was it all for? I can't just say, you know, I really would like to just go see a doctor outside of this outpatient clinic. I can't do that because I live within 40 miles. I do not have any problems being able to get there. So I don't have an excuse. I have to go there if I want to receive health care through the VA. So this is my situation. Now, it may be that these are things that you have dealt with. If it is, let me know. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Certainly would love to hear from you. And, you know, the last thing that we're going to be talking about today is home loans. As I was saying, you have to kind of take the good with the bad whenever it comes to the VA. I have a certificate of eligibility, and some of you other veterans may have this as well, from the VA stating that I am authorized to receive a VA home loan. And it's up to an X amount of dollars, and it's based off of your location that you live, and you can find all that out on the VA website. It's a great program, it seems like it. And it very clearly states that the United States government is backing my home loan 100% up to a certain amount of dollars. And then I do receive some other benefits from the VA as well, and so that I have even extra benefits when it comes to certificate of eligibility. That's great. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I go to try to get a VA home loan, and I'm not able to get one. I don't have enough credit history in general, and then I do have some bad things in my credit. Whenever I first joined the military, I made some bad mistakes. This was, you know, now more than 7 years ago that this happened. But when they do a VA home loan, and everything that I was told leading up to the VA home loan is that the requirements are supposed to be less. You know, they're supposed to be a little bit less stringent, a little bit nicer to you about the whole thing and all this. Well, according to LendingTree.com, this is what they have said to me, that in 2008, based off of laws that Obama passed or put into place, this was their words, they have gone through this system to try and figure out exactly what they can do to get around the ability to help veterans. This is what it boils down to. This is exactly what it boils down to. Because now they have set up rules, their own separate rules, that do not mirror the VA certificate of eligibility. Let me explain. That certificate of eligibility tells you, and it tells me, if you get that certificate of eligibility, that the government's going to back you, that this is a 100% guaranteed backed loan by the government, you're good to go. Go get yourself a home loan. That's what it says. Try. Unless you have impeccable credit, it's going to be hard. They are not treating you any better than the next Joe Schmo down the street that is not a veteran, that does not have any military experience, that has not served in a time of war, that has not gone overseas. You're not getting any better benefits than anyone else. Maybe a little bit better interest rate, right? Maybe a little bit. But you may not even get approved for it. You may not even be allowed to get one, depending on your credit. Now, I understand your income. That's completely understandable, and this is what I mean. If they were to look at my income and they were to say, look, you know, you buddy, you know, I understand you have a VA home loan. I get that. I understand you have a certificate of eligibility. But you want a $300,000 loan, and you only make $20,000 a year. It's just not going to work. I completely understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that whenever a veteran has the income to back that loan, they have the income. The only thing that you should need to look at on their credit report, I mean literally, the only thing that you should have to look at on their credit report is what their current debt is. Not charge-offs, not write-offs, not repossessions, not foreclosures, not anything in their past, but simply what is their current debt, because a credit report will tell you that. And if they make $50,000 a year, let's say, and they have $2,000, $3,000 in debt, and that's it. No other debt. What is the big deal? That's not for a $300,000 loan. That was just an example I gave earlier. But what is the deal? I don't understand why we're not able to get approved for this stuff. I really don't. I really do not. So guest call in number 323-642-1089. Call in. Let me know about problems that you may be having with jobs, with home loans, with health care. I want to hear from you. I want to know exactly what it is that you're going through as a veteran, and I want you to be able to call in and share that with me. Guest calling number 323-642-1089. You're listening to Real American Man. This is the Tuesday Veteran Hour. So you're listening to The Real American Man, and this is the Tuesday Veteran Hour, and I appreciate you listening in. My name is Billy Crocker, your host. We are just a little over 12 minutes left in the show, and you know, this is something that is a really passionate issue for me, is veterans. Obviously, with myself being a veteran, I have seen the results of war, of a veteran returning home, and the lack of understanding. You know, you kind of feel out of place in the civilian world. You really do. I was talking about the last time on the veteran show that we did, and I don't think that I was able to do it on a Tuesday the last time, but what we were discussing was whether or not we... whether or not we have a place in the civilian world, because it really feels like that we don't. Do you agree? To an extent, it feels like that we don't have a place in the civilian world. Now, if you are a lieutenant colonel or, you know, or even an officer in any sort of way, as I was saying earlier, if you have a degree, then you're in a different position. The civilian world still values a college degree and a graduate degree. And so these are great things, and I'm very happy for those that are in that situation, and so this may not speak to you. But an enlisted veteran who spent time in the military as an enlisted person, did not promote above E4, does not have a college degree, but still served their country, still separated honorably, still has an honorable discharge, that person is going to have a very, very, very difficult time getting a job. They are. They truly are. And I want to encourage those that are out there that may be in that situation, do not lose hope. Our hope is in Christ. Do not lose hope. I appreciate what you've done for our country, and I believe that there are a lot of patriots out there that also agree that they appreciate what you have done for our country. I know that that does not put food on the table, that that does not put a roof over your family's head, that it does not put clothes on your back, that it does not stop the nightmares that you have from the war. I know that it doesn't stop those things. I know that it doesn't cause blessings to rain down on your head, because we appreciate what you've done. I know that. But I don't want you to feel like that you've been forgotten, because you haven't. I have been reminded time and time again that I have not been forgotten, and I appreciate that from those people that have stepped in and let me know that. It's been very encouraging. And so I want to share that with any veteran that is listening in now, that you have not been forgotten. You've not been forgotten. One of the things that I want to do over the next couple of weeks, you know, really this is our first show for the Tuesday Veteran Hour, because the last time I did a show on veterans, I did it for 15 minutes long. This has been an hour-long show. So that alone is a different situation all in itself. But what I would like to do is I want to have veterans on this show, obviously. If you're a veteran and you'd like to be a part of this show, go to realamericanman.org. Once again, that's realamericanman.org, and click on the veteran page. And in that, there's going to be a form put on there that you can submit to be a part of our show. Now, you're more than welcome to call in as a guest at any time. Once again, that call-in number, and it will always be, no matter what show it is, if it's the Real American Man that you're listening to, then the guest call-in number is going to be 323-642-1089. So you can save that in your phone. And anytime that we're doing a live show, you can call in, and I will be able to talk to you live on the air. So that's always going to be available to you. But otherwise, what I want you to know is that if you will go in there and submit that form, and basically I'll have some boxes that you can check on what you would like to discuss, experiences that you've had that you'd like to share. So I will, for example, have on there boxes for PTSD, job issues, healthcare, whatever it is that you have had a personal experience with as a veteran and that you would like to bring to the show, then I would love to be able to have you on the show and to do that. So please just let me know if you would like to be a part of the show. We would love to hear from you. You know, like I was saying earlier, it is certainly not okay to be asking for handouts as a veteran. But do not mistake handouts for things that are there to simply help you and I as veterans. Whether you're a man, woman, no matter, your race, your sex, that doesn't matter. If you served our country, you do deserve appreciation. Now, like I said, the humbleness in me says, oh, please don't give me appreciation, so I get it. I know that you're saying, no, I don't. But you do. You do. And I know this, and I can say this because I stood beside you. I stood beside you whenever I was in Iraq. And whenever we were getting rocket attacks, I stood next to you, and I was ready to lay my life on the line to protect you. And I knew that you were ready to lay your life on the line to protect me. I know that whenever I saw those mangled bodies come through the gate compound in Basra, Iraq, that man that was coming through that gate, that was somebody's son, that was somebody's brother, that was somebody's loved one. You deserve our appreciation. You do. You do. Trust me on that. A little over 5 minutes left. Guest call in number 323-642-1089. Main topic of conversation today is jobs. The ability to be able to obtain jobs, keep jobs, and the struggles that we have as veterans to be able to have employers recognize and know what to do with our military time. So if you want to call in about that, guest call in number 323-642-1089. Would love to hear from you. We're going to finish off this show today with just a little bit of a finalization, I guess you could say, of my story from last time. I had mentioned last time about my experience in Iraq, and I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of an update on that. I have since learned that while I wish that things would have went differently on that day in Basra, I know that I did everything that I could do. I know that I obviously did not desire for anyone to end up dead. But I also know that based on the rules of engagement that we had at that time, it was very difficult to respond to threats. I know that the government, in a sense, at that time, had our hands tied when it came to how to deal with the real threat from Iraq. Now, you know, I really desire to get back in the military. I really do. It's a strange thing, and if you're a veteran, you may know what I'm talking about. Now, maybe for some of you, you said, I'm done with that. I'm through. I'm not saying anything about you if that's how you are. But I miss it. I really miss the military. And the strange thing about it is that I even miss the deployments. I miss being in Iraq. I don't miss Iraq. I just miss the mission. I miss the feeling of belonging, of being needed, of being a part of something that was bigger than myself. I don't feel that right now. I don't feel that. And so there's a lot of things about the military that I absolutely loved. And I don't blame the military. I don't blame my military leadership at all. But it is disappointing to feel like I said, that your hands are tied whenever you're in a terrorist country where their goal is to see your body blown to bits. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. But like I said, I've realized that that's not something that I could have done anything about. And I am overcoming that. And I appreciate the concern. I appreciate the prayers. And I also know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there are many veterans who have dealt with so much worse circumstances than what I have given on this show. I would love for a veteran that feels comfortable to share their own experience. It's good to talk about it. It's good to let those things out. And I enjoy being able to do that, and I thank you for the forum to be able to do that. I thank you for listening in, for having an interest in what I'm talking about. I think that veterans, the military, I have high regard for everyone in the military, for every veteran that's out there. I appreciate you for what you do. I thank you so much, no matter what branch of the military you're in. I thank you for your service to our country. If you're serving now, whether it be here or abroad, know that my prayers are with you, that my family and I are praying steadfastly for you, that we are praying here on the home front, that you would come back safe to us. We are praying for you and your family. We're praying for your wives, your children, your family members, your moms, your dads. We're praying for every one of them because we know that it's not just you, the veteran, that makes the sacrifice, but it's also the family back home. And we are praying for them. And if there's any way that we can be of help, please let us know. One of the things that I want you to be able to do, and we've got just a little under a minute left, so I got to do this quick. If you've got any issues that you're having as a veteran, please let me know. I want the show to be something that can bring light to issues that veterans are facing. So if you've got some kind of an issue and you want to bring it to light, please let me know. I will not rest until I find closure for you and for all veterans across this country. Thank you so much. God bless you. You're listening to the Tuesday Veteran Hour. We will be here every week, Tuesday, at 7 p.m. Central Time. Thank you so much for listening.